log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين Dear listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I hope you have started a wonderful day. We are here to present another episode of Islamic Upbringing. If you remember, we have talked about various and important issues in our previous episodes. And I think in the last episode, we were talking about the love of parents towards their youth, which plays a very, very important role in their lives. Today also, inshallah, we will discuss some more vital and very important issues regarding upbringing, and especially about our youth. Our teenagers. I know this is a very sensitive stage and parents should be very, very careful. I'm Farman Ali Masumi here and my wife Radhia Batul Najafi is with me to present the beautiful ahadith of Ahlul Bayt alayhim assalam regarding this topic. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh, and salams from my side too, and welcome to your own show about very, as you said, important topic, which is our challenge in life as a parents. Those are our teenagers.
Yeah. And today we are gonna talk about a very important quality of our youth, and that is confidence, and how to boost confidence in our youth, because a lot of things depend on their confidence. If they have good confidence, they can play a very good role in their society, and they can have a very, you know, impressing personality. Whatever role they are given, they can play perfectly and beautifully. So let me start with this, that there are some few factors, if we are cautious about them or if we take care of these things, definitely our youth, they will have enough confidence to face any challenges in their lives. any role they are given, they can play without any problem. So first of all, we should know about the qualities of our teenagers, the good qualities. If we know about the good qualities of our teenagers, then we can tell them that you have this kind of good qualities. And if our teenager also knows about his or her own good qualities, definitely this will become a booster for them.
And as a human being, Allah has given to all of us some good skills, yeah, some amazing talents. Everyone is diamond, you know, and every person has their own shape. So me, if I'm as a mother, I'm not comparing my son, my daughter with other teenagers, then definitely I will just look at my son's or my child's good, you know, whatever habits or skills that person has. And, you know, definitely if for example, our son, if Ali knows that I'm so good in so many areas because of, you know, my parents or teachers, they keep telling me. So how much this information will help him to choose the best, you know, career in future, yeah? The best subjects in education, to choose the best friend, you know? Like, we can see the impact of this amazing and very, I can say, fundamental quality of boosting our child. It will show the impact in so many areas of life, yes?
Definitely. Our kids, our teenagers, they have, you know, so many flaws, so yeah. Many good qualities. So parents should keep in their mind that they should not keep telling them about their flaws, about their shortcomings, about their those bad qualities, you know. So we will take a short break. Inshallah, after break, we will come back.
This is Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran.
Contact us at englishradio@irib.ir.
Dear listeners, welcome back. We are talking about some very important issues, and we are talking specifically about the sensitivity of our teenagers. If we keep telling our son or daughter that you are, for example, lazy, you are not good in studies, I don't know, you don't have this quality, you have this, you know, bad quality, it reduces their confidence.
Exactly.
Definitely,
yeah.
Sometimes maybe it will end up as a psychology problem, maybe. So always we have to keep on our mind that whatever good qualities our children have, our teenagers especially have, we should keep informing them, and we should provide such climate or atmosphere that where we can increase in those qualities.
And I think it's easy to say, but in practice, especially for mothers, it's very, very challengeable. Because, you know, we as a human being, if we see someone is doing very good, yeah, and very calm and studying nicely and everything is nice, we are also very peaceful and we are quiet. The moment we see something, you know, is not in their own place and something wrong, then we start noticing. That is the biggest mistake, which usually the parents and sometimes the teachers, they do. So because we are noticing and pointing only most of the time the negative habits of our children, yeah, so automatically we will talk about that. And we are just neglecting, unfortunately, you know, like
Like the way we are also with Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala. Allah has bestowed so many bounties. We neglect it. But the moment some problem comes, we just point out and we say, Ya Allah, why this happened to me? Why this? Why this? You know, the same thing goes with
even
training.
Even in our du'as and prayers, always we speak about those shortcomings. Ya Allah, I don't have this. Please give me this. I don't have that. Please give me that. We never think about the beautiful bounties Allah has bestowed upon us. We never thank Him in our du'as.
Yeah, du'as. Same thing goes, when we are unfortunately dealing with our teenagers. So it's a very essential, very, very, very practical point which we are going to discuss today. And we are discussing, you know, you don't take it easy. That, yeah, it's so easy. You know, no, it's not that easy. And even, you know, the amount of maybe appreciation which we are showing towards our children, we think, yeah, I'm a good parent. I'm appreciating a lot. But maybe it's not enough. Still, it's not enough. Because if we are comparing it with the complaints which we do.
Yeah, let me give a practical example.
Yes, please.
Our Muhammad Kadhim, he is, mashallah, near 13.
Yeah.
So he wasn't that much confident in his class, with his teachers, with his class fellows, you know. He always would try to avoid those gatherings. But, you know, last time when they had something in a ceremony they had in their school, and he had taken his camera to take some pictures.
Exactly.
So when I saw his pictures, definitely they were good pictures. He had taken very good pictures. Then I praised him a lot. I said, wow, without any class, without having any course, you have taken, mashallah, so many good and professional pictures. You can't believe how much this simple 2-3 sentences have increased in his confidence.
Wow.
Now, always he say, Baba, I want to take that camera, and we have some gatherings. I want to take pictures and some movies. Even now, their teachers, they have witnessed also how much he has boosted his, you know, confidence.
So,
even a single sentence, sometimes it boosts a lot of their confidence. So
yeah,
we should never neglect.
Beautiful example you have given to me. Like you know, we should sit. Usually, unfortunately, we don't sit with our children to just see what he's doing. You know, if something wrong is not going happen, just sit without any problem. You know, usually we sit when there's a problem.
Discuss about anything, about his interests. You know, no matter whatever he wants and he wants to do, maybe sometimes he wants to do some bad things. We should listen and we should discuss with them. Dear listeners, let's take a short break. We will come back after the break.
Ya muqiya al-khayrat, ya muqiya al-khayrat, ya.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, honor your children and teach them good manners.
Dear listeners, welcome back. We were talking about discover the good qualities, the good abilities of our teenagers.
It's not that much easy. Like, we need so much patience. You know, we should sit and think, and we should enjoy being with them, you know, mingling with them. Yeah. Then we can discover easily, inshallah.
Yeah. Like our elder son Ali, he was interested in drawing.
Yes.
You know, how much we used to praise him and how much impact it had in his life.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. So we should, whenever we have time, we should sit with our teenagers, and with respectfully manner, we can talk to them.
And I think something very simple, very, very easy, maybe as a parent, I say, yeah, everyone knows, you know, my son has or my daughter has this good quality. He himself knows it. But no, the thing which is, you know, you consider it very simple, it's very important for him. You know, for her, you know, as a teenager, you know, sometimes we think, oh, yeah, everyone knows, you know, even she knows her, you know, he knows that he's so good in this area. But no, sometimes they don't know, they don't appreciate, and especially in teenagers, you know, they are very sensitive. They're always blaming, you know, even themselves and others. So they don't appreciate very easily that, yeah, I have so much talents, you know, and I can go, I can do, you know, best in this area of life. No, they are always lacking and in so many doubts, and they are thinking so much about their friends and, you know, school class fellows and friends. So therefore, they're very, very sensitive. So if we are just boosting them, they will get, you know, that information is some like a vitamin, you know, works for them, you know, very well. Yeah,
that is very, very important, especially, you know, parents, because they are living with their children and kids and teenagers. They don't realize how good qualities they have sometimes. And sometimes, unfortunately, parents, they say, when I was at his age or her age, I was better than him or her. We should never, ever compare ourselves, our youth age with them, or somebody else's youth age with them. Because everybody has his own qualities. Everybody is being brought up in a different situation.
Absolutely.
Or different atmosphere.
Yeah.
So, you know, even very, very, as you said, small qualities we should consider. If he has any good quality about sports, he's a good footballer or volleyball player, or, for example, any good runner or something, we should point it out and talk about it and
exactly.
Appreciate it and encourage him in this field. Definitely, it will help him a lot. So, unfortunately, we have come to the end of this episode. I hope our dear listeners have enjoyed also. Let me share our email address with our listeners. If you want to have any comment or suggestion, please, you can write at englishradio@irib.ir. And if you are using definitely social media, you can follow us on social media at Call of Islam Radio. Until next episode, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space returned upon rest.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Nowruz, or the Persian New Year, is celebrated worldwide by millions of people, including the people in Indian-controlled Kashmir. The region, known for its natural beauty worldwide, turns magical each year during its spring season. To mark nature's revival, the people of Kashmir have dedicated a day to thank the mesmerizing beauty of spring. Our correspondent Shahana Bhatt reports.
As the spring season begins in Kashmir, the earth turns lush green and the trees bear colorful blossoms, with the sky visibly blue and waters clear and glossy. After a not-so-harsh winter this year, the people of Kashmir are welcoming the onset of spring. Nowruz, or the Persian New Year, marks the beginning of spring and is celebrated on March 21st. New trees are planted while people offer prayers and seek God's help for a prosperous year.
Each year, we await this season so that we can plant new trees. The process of their growth gives us hope, and that hope teaches us that God has set a time for everything. We can't fast-track it. We can only do our best efforts.
On the occasion of Nowruz, women in Kashmir prepare unique dishes made from lotus stem and fish. Mehra and her sister have a busy day today. Friends and family are invited to relish the moment.
We have been taught by our mothers and grandmothers to cook these delicacies on the special occasion of Nowruz. It requires lots of dedication, and what matters is that this food brings friends and families together, and a lot of positive energy is exchanged. For us, Nowruz is not just an occasion, but it marks a fresh beginning of love, growth, and prosperity.
On the occasion of Nowruz, the Kashmiri administration often organizes musical festivals to add fervor to the celebrations. People, especially children, visit these musical festivals in large numbers so that the year starts with cheerful memories. This year, scores of tourists have also come to witness Kashmir's spring.
We had heard that Kashmir looks magical, but we witnessed in reality that this land looks fabulous, especially the spring season.
The early arrival of tourists has added a lot of positivity to Kashmir's tourism sector, which has been hit hard by years of political instability and turmoil. Persian culture is deeply rooted in Kashmir, and celebrating Nowruz is a sign of its influence.
Nowruz marks a new beginning, and after suffering decades of political instability and 2 years of the COVID pandemic, people are only hoping for a return back to a normal life and an everlasting peace. Shahana Butt, Indian administered Kashmir.
Egypt's rich history seems to be a gift that keeps on giving. The country has unveiled some exquisite, newly discovered tombs. The pharaonic tombs were found at the Saqqara archaeological site south of Cairo. The site is a big necropolis of Memphis, an ancient capital of Egypt. The graves belonged to a senior royal official, or rather senior royal officials. Some of the graves are engraved with interesting titles such as Steward of the Royal House and Supervisor of the Garden. The tombs are around 4,000 years old, dating back to the Old Kingdom of Egypt. Turkey inaugurates the world's longest suspension bridge over the Dardanelle Strait. The bridge is more than 2 kilometers long and connects Turkey's European and Asian shores. It cuts travel time between the two locations to just 6 minutes. A consortium of Turkish and South Korean firms began constructing the huge bridge in 2017 with a budget of 2.5 billion euros. 5,000 workers participated in the colossal undertaking. Passenger vehicles must pay a fare of 200 Turkish liras or around 14 US dollars to use the bridge. In Peru, paleontologists have unearthed the skull of a ferocious marine predator that is an ancestor of the modern-day whale. The 36-million-year-old skull was dug up intact after it was discovered in Peru's southern desert. The fossil belongs to an ancient mammal whose contemporary descendants include dolphins. Recreations of how the animal looked like show it mostly resembles a giant lizard that moved like a snake. Paleontologists say it was a top predator measuring some 12 meters long.
The discovery is very important because the skull is in a perfect state of preservation. The skull and the jaw are in the right anatomical position. The teeth are complete. It's very possible this might be a new Basilosaurus species. If this is so, there is no other fossil like this one anywhere else in the world.
Salas further explained when the ancient animal died, its skull might have sunk to the bottom of the seafloor, where it was quickly preserved. The skull, measuring 1.3 meters long, was unveiled at Lima's Museum of Natural History. The Peruvian desert is rich in fossils and offers scientists 42 million years' worth of evolutionary evidence. Other fossils found there include the four-legged dwarf whale and sharks, among others.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, fun funny trending news and more from every corner of the world.
A painter in Pakistan shifts from trucks to trainers to uncover a hip new canvas for his famous truck art. Haydar Ali says he works on each pair of shoes for up to 4 days, and his paint of choice is mainly acrylic. He also uses other forms of durable material, such as oil paints, to get the job done. The seasoned artist charges select clients $400 for each set. His designs feature intricate bespoke patterns, including flowers, peacocks, and wildly colorful motifs. He says new requests typically arrive every 4 days. Orders for painted trainers started pouring in for the truck artist after a surge of social media interest.
Ideas keep popping up for me, and sometimes clients have ideas. A client came to me from the US asking for a painting on some shoes. I told him an exorbitant fee to discourage him, but he agreed, so I decided, let's do it then.
He has dispatched 8 pairs to various places in Pakistan and abroad since he first started painting trainers in January. Ali comes from a family of truck artists who made a living off of painting lorries. He came to international fame when his work was exhibited at a museum in the U.S. 2 decades ago. So far, the veteran truck artist has applied his craft to an airplane as well as a passenger car, among others. The art form is mainly seen on Pakistani trucks, and today, the trade is one of the country's most famous cultural exports.
Archaeologists have discovered a 500-year-old Aztec altar with 164 in Mexico City, Mexico's largest starfish offering discovered to date. Archaeologists believe it was built around the year 1500. Jaguar bones and other remains such as sea shells were also found. Scientists believe the fossils found correspond to a species known as chocolate chip sea star or Nidorella armata.
This is really interesting because if you think about it, chocolate chip sea star looks like the skin of a jaguar. It's orange with dark spots. Probably that is why this species was selected, but we still need to analyze all the starfish because we found 160 of them and we think they all belong to the same species. But we need to research further every one of them.
According to experts, the location of the altar within the Templo Mayor complex and the jaguar motifs suggest the offering was related to the war. Mexico is brimmed with archaeological sites of several civilizations, including Aztecs. Retired racehorses could be retrained for a new role as so-called therapy horses. According to a study led by the University of Bristol, veterans and disabled children, as well as those struggling with mental health issues, can benefit from the therapy horses. The 3-year study aims to provide a global standard for the racing industry and a toolkit for retraining racehorses. A racehorse's career can last anywhere between 2 and 10 years, but better could be done to make use of these beautiful creatures soon after they're retired.
So racehorses, when they finish their racing careers, and they can finish as young as sort of 3 or 4 years old, they really don't want to be just standing around in fields for the next 20, 30 years. And they're so versatile that I really believe there's a job for 99% of them. I think there's almost a sixth sense with the horse. People needing therapy, whether that's mental health or physical disabilities, there seems to be sort of something that gels between a horse and a human.
Horse trainers say with the thoroughbred's lifespan between 25 to 30 years, this study's aim is crucial for their long-term welfare. Over 7,000 racehorses end their career every year in Britain, with many going into eventing and pleasure riding. killer whale beached on a Mexican shore has been rescued by locals and environmentalists. Volunteers with a group called Youth Allied to the Environment helped carry the orca out of the sea. The whale was loaded onto a truck and taken to a large dock for medical examination. Volunteers say locals gathered to form a human chain in an effort to quickly fill the tub with water. The orca is being treated at a marine biology department of the Yucatan Autonomous University. Veterinarians say the whale appeared to have some pulmonary problems and will be released back to the ocean after the recuperation.
To some people, it is just garbage, but to this Filipino woman, recyclable items have become a source of livelihood as she turns them into beautiful outfits. Leonora Biovaje is an experienced dressmaker who can weave and stitch nearly any type of material together to make fashionable frocks and gowns. She uses newspapers, plastic wrappers, and rice sacks as her clothing materials. She says rice sacks have the advantage of print and patterns, which both bring texture and color to her designs. This seamstress says she often uses packaging and bubble wraps from her children's delivery orders to make her gowns, among other materials.
It's good to use recycled materials because the cost is inexpensive. All you are really paying for is labor. It is durable, colorful, and we can help the environment at the same time.
She says her dresses sell for $30 to $50 and are used in weddings and other debut events. The recycled materials used for each dress would depend on her client's request. Her designs using recycled materials have also caught the attention of local fashion events. Leonora says she hopes to inspire others to create clothing out of ordinary recycled materials.
Elephant Day in Thailand. The country celebrates a large animal as a source of national pride and cultural identity throughout its history. One celebration took place in Chonburi province on the eastern Gulf of Thailand coast. Dozens of elephants were hosted at a famous botanical park. The animals were treated to 2 tons of fruits and vegetables laid out on a table as wide as 8 meters. Elephants in the past were used for labor, transport, and in battlefields by warriors and kings. But nowadays, they're no longer used for heavy-duty jobs.
And time have changed. These elephants now, they are no longer used. We have better equipment to carry log and all that. So they become what we call homely elephant. These have been their life. We train them, they rest among us. We give them food. So now they have a homely life. Hopi life, we have to support them. So now they go to the tourist attraction place, they're riding elephant, and all this is.
The feast takes place on March 13th every year and commonly in various parts of Thailand. But this year, celebrations were few because of the COVID pandemic and the economic woes that have come with it.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. This is your host, Musa Al Bahadili, and you are now listening to the program Q&A on Islamic beliefs. Joining me in the studio today is a dear friend and esteemed guest speaker, Sheikh Murtada Karimi, who is an Islamic researcher at the Seminary of Qum. Dear Sheikh, I welcome you and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah, and thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us.
Oh.
Our question today is a continuation of the previous session's topic and question, which was why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he punishes limited beings who have committed a limited amount of sins with infinite and eternal punishment. And of course, we said that those who are suffering eternity or will be suffering eternity in the hellfire, they are a very select few. It is actually very difficult to attain eternity in the hellfire. And the reason for that is that even if they lived forever, or they lived for thousands and thousands, millions of years even, they still would not obey Allah. And on the other hand, those who are eternally in the paradise in heaven, same concept applies. If they were given eternal life or thousands of years of lifespans, they would still obey Allah. Dear Sheikh, you mentioned that there are some other explanations and answers as well. Insha'Allah, we shall talk about them today.
Sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. As you rightly mentioned, one of the best explanations for eternity is that these people will not change if they remain on the earth for even for good for millions of years.
Right.
The great Shia philosopher Mullah Sadra, he also has addressed the concept of hudud and eternity in the hellfire. At the end of the day, it's a difficult question because, to justify how we finite human beings will suffer for eternity, it needs a kind of explanation.
It requires some thought.
Yeah. So even a person like Mullah Sadra, with all that great knowledge, he says that this is one of the difficult questions asked and addressed by the different scholars. If you remember, and if the dear listeners remember, in the previous session we said that a group of Muslim mystics, their explanation was different. They believed that they will be there in the hellfire, but after some times of suffering from the punishment,
right. It wouldn't count as punishment. Anymore. Right.
Yeah. So from that perspective, everything is okay. It's not a kind of eternal punishment.
Right.
After some time, it's a kind of enjoying being in the hellfire.
Right.
Mullah Sadra also has referred to this viewpoint of these people. And then he says that Mullah Sadra, somehow refers to that explanation that I mentioned, but, in more philosophical terms. He says that the reason for the fact that the people of the hellfire are in the hellfire for eternity is al-malakatu rasikha lin-nafs biwasitat al-afa'il al-mujiba li-husul ma huwa fiha bimanzilat at-tab', which to put it in a very simple terms means that these people, which we mentioned that are few in number, after disbelief and committing all those sins, they receive, as if they receive a new nature. Their nature is not that divinely given nature anymore. They receive a new, what we call it, malaka, which means that this new nature makes them to commit sins, on a daily basis. So with this new nature that they have received after committing all those sins, it doesn't make any difference whether they live for one day or for 1,000 years.
It is a part of their essence now.
Exactly. It is a part of their essence now. So they are not able to change anymore. And it is not, a force. This is what they received out of their beliefs and actions.
Right. It's the outcome of their actions.
Exactly. So he says that in another part of one of his books, he says that those people who commit sins, and they are going to be in the hellfire for eternity, there is a kind of rust on their hearts and minds. And after repeating all those sins, they lose that fitra, that God-given nature that are given to all the people when they are born.
Right. The goodness that is in every human
exactly.
being.
Exactly. So a second fitra is created for them. A second nature is created for them. And based on that nature, they are not going to change again. And I think it makes sense. For some people in this world, like, for example, think of Saddam Hussein. If he lived for another 100 years, do you think that he would change?
Yes, he would do repentance and become a good Shia scholar.
Yeah, that's funny. That's a joke, you see?
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, for some people, we can agree that they have committed so many, wicked actions and so on and so forth, that, they have received another nature. It is as if they are not human beings anymore.
There is actually an anecdote of this who a person, we do not, of course, it's an anecdote, a person who said that when an Iraqi person, he recounts the time that he was in the presence of Saddam Hussein. He was like, when he entered the room, you feel a presence of evil. Like he's absolutely evil. There's nothing good in him. Mm-hmm. Like you are terrified. Of course, this is an anecdote, you do not know, but that is what he described it as. He's an absolute evil. And we also have many people who go to these haunted and demonic places say that there's an evil presence.
Yeah, yeah.
Same concept, perhaps.
So we're not talking about, jabr and predetermination, no.
Right.
But really, their nature is not, humane nature anymore. It's a kind of animal nature for
worse
some people.
Worse than animals.
Yeah, worse than animals, yeah. So I think, this is a very good point mentioned by Mullah Sadra, that the people that we are talking about are the ones who have lost that divinely given nature. They have received a second nature, and that is why it doesn't make any difference whether they live for one more day or for 1,000 years more.
Right.
They will continue to do the same actions.
They have changed.
Yeah, and that is why they would be there in the hellfire forever. Now, this is another way to explain the eternity in the hellfire.
Right.
And there is yet another answer to it, mentioned by Mullah Sadra and some other scholars, to answer this question from another perspective. So this is what I'm going to mention right now, is maybe a third answer to this question.
Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
And this answer is that, let me ask you and the dear listeners a question. As a father, for example, imagine you are my child and I tell you that if I do your homework in a good way, I will reward you, I will give you $10. If you don't, then I will hit you. So if you do your homework on time, and if I don't give you those $10, for sure I should be blamed as a father. But imagine you're not doing your homework. If I do not hit you, does it considered a bad action by the father or a good action? I have threatened you, so it's a kind of wa'id, a threat by me.
Right.
But for any reason, after threatening you, you did not do your homework. Now I'm not going to punish you. Or I'm not going to punish you as severe as I mentioned before.
Right.
Is it a good action by me as a father or a bad action or what?
No, that's a good question.
That's a good question.
Depends on how you look at it.
So that is the way that some scholars, they have viewed the concept of hudud. They believe that it is true that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Noble Book of Quran, for sure he has mentioned that he will reward any good action. And for sure all people agree that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't act upon his wa'id, which means good promises, then God, na'udhu billah, should be blamed. So for sure Allah will reward those people who do good actions. But what about wa'id? What about the threats? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has threaten the people that I will punish you if you do such and such. But if for any reason he does not punish the people, or not as severe as he has mentioned in the Noble Book of Quran, should God be blamed or no, should God be admired for, for his kind of mercy?
Right.
Now, this group of scholars, I'm not going to, mention that, whether it is a justified answer or not.
That's another discussion.
That's, a third answer given to this question. According to some scholars, of course, all scholars agree that we have two terms, wa'd, which means good promise, and wa'id, threats. Right. To act upon wa'd is necessary. But to act upon wa'id, is it necessary? Some scholars believe that not necessarily. Sometimes as a father, you threat your children, but then for some reasons, you're not going to act upon that. So,
of course.
I mean, it's justified. Sometimes it's looked at as a kind of, mercy. And the reason for your wa'id was for a kind of lesson to give to your children. So is it qabih? Is it an, ugly action by God if he doesn't punish the people? Of course, we are not talking about doesn't punishing at all. We are talking about eternity and the hellfire.
Right, he does punish, but not eternally.
Not eternally. So the viewpoint of a group of scholars is that although it is mentioned in the Noble Book of Quran, but if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not act upon this part of his threat, eternity in the hellfire, no one would blame Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they say that it is likely for God not to act upon this threat. Does it mean that Allah has said a lie in the Noble Book of Quran? This is one question.
Right.
The next question is that what about the good doers? They say that, if we know that, we may commit sins too.
Exactly.
Because there is no eternity in the hellfire.
Those who are oppressed so badly in the world, who can never forgive such a person, and they have their entire existence, they have been hoping that he will get punished forever, and suddenly, no, he's out of Jahannam, he's in heaven sitting with them.
Yeah. These are two important questions that we need to deal with, I believe, in the following session. The people, the scholars who believe in this viewpoint, they have answered these two questions. Whether they are justifying, we leave it to the dear listeners. Right. But I just wanted to mention that if eternity is there, we have justification for that. The concept of niyyah or intention mentioned by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, the concept of the second nature given by Mullah Sadra. And now we have another answer, which is claiming that it is likely for God not to act upon this part of punishment, which is eternity in the hellfire. There are some objections that we may deal with them in the following session.
Inshallah, we are going to have to end today's program because we are out of time. Dear Sheikh, I thank you for your time today and for coming here and enlightening us. And I also thank the dear listeners for tuning in. Until the next session, fi amanillah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Inna fil jannati nahran min laban. Li Aliin wa Husayn wa Hasan. Li Aliin wa Husayn wa Hasan. إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن لعلي وحسين وحسن كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Thank you.
log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Insights into the Holy Quran.
Indeed, this Quran guides to what is most upright and gives the good news to the faithful who do righteous deeds, that there is a great reward for them.
In the name of Allah, the Compassionate, the Merciful, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu Alaikum. Welcome to another edition of the program, Insights into the Holy Quran by Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, a graduate of the Hawza Seminary of Qom. Please stay with us.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. Dear listeners, hello everyone. Welcome to another edition of the program Insights into the Holy Quran. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarrisi, and in this edition, we will try to have a closer look at the 25th chapter, Surah Al-Furqan. First, let's just listen to the verses we're going to talk about in this program, and we'll be back shortly. So stay with us.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
وعادا وثمود وأصحاب الرس وقرونا بين ذلك كثيرا
And we destroyed Ad and Thamud and the companions of the well and many generations between them.
وكلا ضربنا له الأمثال وكلا تبرنا تتبيرا
And for each we presented examples as warnings, and each we destroyed with total destruction.
وَلَقَدْ أَتَوْا عَلَى الْقَرْيَةِ الَّتِي أُمْطِرَتْ مَطَرَ السَّوْءِ أَفَلَمْ يَكُونُوا يَرَوْنَهَا بَلْ كَانُوا لَا يَرْجُونَ نُشُورًا
And they have already come upon the town which was showered with a rain of stones. So have they not seen it? But they are not expecting resurrection.
The 40th verse of chapter Furqan says, وَلَقَدْ أَتَوْا عَلَى الْقَرْيَةِ الَّتِي أُمْطِرَتْ مَطَرَ السَّوْءِ أَفَلَمْ يَكُونُوا يَرَوْنَهَا بَلْ كَانُوا لَا يَرْجُونَ نُشُورًا And indeed,
they have passed by the town on which was rained an evil rain. Did they not then see it? Nay, they did not hope to be raised again. To give you a short preview of what has happened in the previous verses, we must say that this section of the chapter of Furqan is talking about the history and destiny of the previous nations. This group of verses are somehow sympathizing on one hand with the Prophet ﷺ and the believers, and on the other hand, these verses are acting as threats to the pretext-seeking polytheists. The story of Prophet Moses, the story of Prophet Noah, and also the story of people of Ad, Thamud, and Ashab al-Ras were mentioned in the previous verses. But at the end, the conclusion was that unto each of them we did give examples, كُلَّنْ ضَرْبْنَا لَهُ الْأَمْثَالِ وَكُلَّنْ تَبَّرْنَا تَتْبِيرًا, and we destroyed all of them with utter extermination because they denied the messengers. كَذَّبُوا الرُّسُلِ. Now this verse says, and indeed they have passed by the town on which was rained an evil rain. The purpose of this township, Al-Qarya, whereon was rained the evil rain, is the town of people of Lut, the prophet, which stone rained in that town. As Imam Baqir alayhi salam says, this was an area that was previously called Sadum. Therefore, ancient places can provide people lessons. And as we said, narration of history and retelling the story of misled people can be a ground for propagation. It can be used as a training program. It can do prohibit the evil doing in the society. And this verse is implying the emphasis on the fact that you should take lesson from the history of the previous nations and people. لَقَدْ أَتَوْا عَلَى الْقَرْيَةِ الَّتِي أُمْتِرَتْ مَطَرَ السَّوْءِ. They had seen, they had passed by the town which they knew what happened to those people. But then they did not take lessons, they did not listen to their messengers, and they continued the denial of their messengers. على مر الزمان تألقا وأضاء للدنيا طريقا. We hope and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses us with the ability to cover more of His divine.
In this series of programs, we will inshallah discuss the Holy Quran with a thematic approach.
We will inshallah discuss the chapter.
تعلقا وتلاه في جنح الدجى متدبرا.
The context in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks in this verse is the context of mentioning the ills and problems and evils of the people of the